Welcome to the Master Your Breath podcast. My name is Tom Richter, and today we will talk about how increasing your carbon dioxide levels in your body can lead to better focus, improved strength, and better health. I want to start this episode with a question that I was asked, which was, how do I slow my breathing down? And actually, how do I slow everything in life down? Even the pleasurable moments seem fast-paced, as if I'm always in fight or flight. Even in those moments that I could really fully enjoy, I'm somehow missing the calmness that would actually allow me to enjoy those pleasurable moments fully. And of course, our breathing lays that foundation for being able to remain calm and enjoy those moments, being present through all the great moments throughout the day, but also the more challenging moments. And our quality of breathing really determines if we can remain in that state throughout the day. And those two gases that are involved with breathing, oxygen and carbon dioxide mainly, play a big role in that. And so today I want to explain the importance of carbon dioxide. Usually we all know about the importance of oxygen for staying alive. We can only go without oxygen for a couple of minutes and then our body starts running out because there's no storage as such for oxygen, because oxygen is actually a very aggressive gas in terms of being highly reactive and forming a lot of free radicals, creating a lot of inflammation if there's too much oxygen, and therefore the body cannot store it too much. And therefore we only do survive a couple of minutes without fresh oxygen. But carbon dioxide is a gas that is quite misunderstood in general, because carbon dioxide seems to be this gas that we just need to get rid of, but actually it's a gas that we need a balanced amount of. Too high amounts, and we are of course very sensitive to very high amounts of CO2, they should and do trigger us to get into a stressed state, in a fight or flight state, because very high amounts of carbon dioxide usually mean there's a problem and our body should get active to get out of the situation. But also very low amounts of carbon dioxide are very dangerous and can lead to all kinds of problems, especially chronic problems, because low amounts of carbon dioxide are usually the amounts that are just slightly too low. And so we get used to that slightly too low carbon dioxide with all the problematic effects it has in the body. So we don't really notice it, but because we keep breathing and living with those slightly too low amounts of carbon dioxide, they become lower and lower, and we become eventually chronically challenged, chronically ill, because of those low levels of carbon dioxide. Most of us have learned in school and are very aware of that through the respiratory cycle, we inhale air, which is high in oxygen. That oxygen then goes into the lungs and from the lungs into the blood, and then through the blood is moved through the whole body, so that oxygen can move into all the cells of the body, including the brain, including all important muscles, and including all the vital organs. There, the oxygen is used to produce energy. And as a side product of that, carbon dioxide is created, which then is moved through the blood back to the lungs, and from the lungs exhaled out into the air, into the outside air. And that actually, that understanding makes it sound like carbon dioxide is something we just want to get rid of. But carbon dioxide actually has a lot of important things to do in the body. One thing is, it is an antioxidant, meaning it reduces inflammation. When we increase the level of carbon dioxide in the body, we have a better way to lower inflammation. And that everywhere, in the muscle tissues, in the liquids in the body, in all the organs, etc. It's also antibacterial, which, if you think of airborne diseases, if you inhale air from outside, and there is, of course, bacteria in there, and you have higher amounts of CO2 in the body, in the lungs, your body can fight those bacteria better than if you breathe fast and therefore have very low levels of carbon dioxide in your lungs. It is also acting as a tissue healer, probably also because it creates a lot of, it supports circulation, it supports oxygen delivery to all cells. Furthermore, it's a bronchodilator, meaning your airways will open up with higher amounts of carbon dioxide in your airways. So asthmatics usually are hyperventilating and therefore have very low levels of carbon dioxide, and their lungs start constricting. And so by breathing less in that moment, you increase the amount of carbon dioxide in the bronchioles in your lungs, and they will open up a little bit. And this kind of relaxation effect is also seen everywhere else in the body where carbon dioxide levels exist. It relaxes the nerve cells. It relaxes the muscle cells. Some people experience regular cramps in certain muscle, and even giving extra magnesium doesn't help. But then when they start breathing slower, through the nose, diaphragmatically, all of a sudden the cramps go away as they slow down their breathing. And of course, we have muscles around the whole body. So whether it's menstrual cramps, whether it's cramps in the muscles in your legs, or you know, somewhere that you use for sports, whether it's in the airways, in the intestines, around your bladder, all those muscles become more tense if you are breathing faster. So for example, if you have to go to the toilet throughout the night a couple of times, it might actually be because you're overbreathing throughout the night, having low levels of carbon dioxide in the body, and the muscles around your bladder cannot relax as fully as they should. And therefore, you wake up with the need to go to the toilet. Why do we even get that sensitivity towards carbon dioxide? For that, let's shortly think about what actually triggers our body for that need to inhale. So if you sit there now and you're listening and you, let's say you're not driving or doing anything that is potentially dangerous, and you just exhale and stop breathing, just even without preparation. And then it takes maybe 2 seconds, maybe 20 seconds, maybe 50 seconds. But let's say for most people, probably around 10 to 15 seconds until they really feel the need to inhale. That sensation around the upper belly, in the diaphragm, where you feel, oh, I really want to inhale. First it's an appetite, then slowly it becomes a need, then becomes an urge, a strong urge to inhale. And then, of course, you just allow that inhalation to happen. Now, what triggered that really strong urge? Was it a low level of oxygen in the body? Or was it a high level of carbon dioxide? And the way I'm asking, I guess, makes it obvious. It is the high level of carbon dioxide. Your body measures the amount of CO2 that is in the body and signals that to the brain, and then the brain will tell the diaphragm a certain level of carbon dioxide has been reached, please engage diaphragm, which will create the next inhalation, which in turn creates the next exhalation, which gets rid of carbon dioxide. Now, when we are in a stressful situation, our body feels a fight or flight response, or creates a fight or flight response because of some external trigger. if that was hundreds of years ago and there was actually a physical threat, let's say the metaphorical lion chasing you, and you created and your body got into that fight or flight response, you would start breathing faster, you would start tensing up, and that faster breathing would remove the carbon dioxide out of your body, so that when you now start actually physically engaging into running away as fast as you can, you would be able to run longer because the carbon dioxide level would not go up, would go up from a lower level, and therefore you could run faster because you're completely out, before you're completely out of your breath. And that's a great thing. And then you would be out of danger and you could calm down and relax your breathing. And that would happen because 99% of the time you wouldn't be under threat. Nowadays, however, we have a threat from an email that we get or from our constant messages on our phone, from the thought of the next meeting that we have to be successful in, where we have to have an uncomfortable conversation with someone. And those kind of stressors create a fight or flight response in the body, making us breathe faster. However, there is no running away or actually physically engaging in a fight afterwards. Therefore, we breathe faster, our CO2 levels go down, and then we just think of something else, or we actually engage in talking or whatever we do. But there's no need to actually run and physically engage. And therefore, our CO2 levels go down and then not up because we're not running. They just stay low. And our body gets used to that lower level of carbon dioxide in the body. Now, if we do that for a while and our body gets used to this lower level of levels of carbon dioxide, that then also means that that threshold level where our body says, now we have a high level of carbon dioxide, please inhale, saying it to the diaphragm, becomes lower and lower. And therefore, we cannot just, even in a relaxed moment, we cannot just say, I will exhale and I will wait for 20 seconds. And then I will have a small inhalation and small exhalation. Because our body is so used to having low levels of CO2, of carbon dioxide, and it has to now breathe faster all the time. So we might get to a breathing rhythm of 2 seconds in, 2 seconds out, 1 second pause. 2 seconds in, 2 seconds out, 1 second pause. Instead of possibly 3 seconds in, 5 seconds out, and then just waiting for 5 to 10 seconds. The difference between those two is really a huge difference in carbon dioxide levels. Our body gets used to those low levels. Now we have to breathe faster all the time. We remain with lower levels of carbon dioxide throughout the day and throughout the night. Now, coming back to what I said before, what does that now create? It creates an environment where all the muscles, all the nerves are rather tense, where I hold more tension in my muscular physique, where my nerves are more under tension, therefore I will respond much more in an over-engaged, overshooting way. I will get nervous faster. Maybe I have tension around my intestines, around my stomach, so I'm not digesting the food as well. I have a nervous bladder, or maybe have to go to the toilet for number two more often. My muscles cannot fully relax, therefore I will get less flexible, less mobile. And I will just stay in this fight or flight because I'm breathing fast. Also, as I'm breathing throughout the day like this, I'm very likely to also breathe like this during the night. Now I have 8 hours, or 6 to 8 hours, let's say, where I'm spending time in bed. My body is trying to recover, but I'm still breathing because my body cannot allow the carbon dioxide levels to go up too much. And therefore, throughout the night, I'm holding more tension in the body, in the nervous system. I'm waking up more often, maybe because of cramps, maybe because I have to go to the toilet. I'm breathing faster, and therefore my body cannot circulate the blood so nicely because my bronchioles and also my blood vessels are more constricted. There's not as much oxygen being provided to all the cells in the body throughout the day, but also especially throughout the night. Therefore, there's not as much healing going on through the night, not as much recovery. I cannot go as deeply into a dream state and into a sleeping state as I would otherwise be able to do. And now, as I have created this problem over weeks and months and maybe years of breathing a little too fast, now I'm chronically in this state. And now I actually need a really concerted effort to get out of this. And that's where I say, learn to master your breath, learn to change your breathing patterns throughout the day, learn to change them when you do any engaged activity, such as sports, fitness, dancing, yoga. Learn to calm down your nervous system and your breathing pattern before you go to sleep so you will sleep better and you will wake up more recovered. So it's not just the 2 minutes of breathing or the 5 minutes of or 10 minutes of breathing that you control the breathing and you improve your breathing in those 5 to 10 minutes, but it's really how you breathe differently throughout the whole rest of the day and how you slowly teach your body to allow increased levels of carbon dioxide. There's two more things that will really help with the circulation. Carbon dioxide will allow oxygen to be released into the cells. Meaning, if you have low levels of carbon dioxide, the oxygen that is in your blood will not be released into the cells. So therefore, if you breathe too fast, you can have wonderful levels of oxygen in your body, in your blood, but your brain will still starve. All your vital organs will be still starved from oxygen because without carbon dioxide, the oxygen is stuck in the blood. And you know that when you blow up an air mattress, and you do it not with a pump, with an air pump, but actually through blowing air from your body into the air mattress. Very likely you have done that in your life, and very likely you got dizzy when you did that. But actually you were breathing much more air while you were blowing up the air mattress. You really inhaled and then blowed the air out because you want to fill it up quickly. And you got dizzy. Why did you get dizzy? You breathed more, and therefore you could say more oxygen came into your body, into your lungs at least, into your blood. But your blood already had a saturation of 97, 98, 99% of oxygen, very likely before you started blowing up the air mattress. But now, because you are exhaling a lot of air, also carbon dioxide goes out a lot. And now your blood vessels constrict, meaning less blood is going to your brain, and that oxygen is stuck on your hemoglobin in the blood because there's no carbon dioxide present, and therefore the oxygen is stuck on the hemoglobin. It's not being released into the brain, and therefore your brain gets starved of oxygen. So, when you blow up the air mattress, your brain gets less oxygen. All your muscles get less oxygen. You get dizzy. And you really feel it. If you do that throughout the day, the same thing happens. But very likely, you're not over-breathing as you would when you blow up an air mattress. Rather, the amount of carbon dioxide is just slightly too low. Not enough to make you dizzy, but just slightly too low for everything to work optimally. And that's the problem with our breathing, that we are breathing in a problematic way and we are not even noticing it. Now, when I work with people and they are going through my Master Your Breath course, they first learn to breathe through their nose diaphragmatically in all situations throughout the day, including the night. They learn to keep their mouth shut while breathing throughout the day and throughout the night. Sleep tape is one of the things that really helps you to keep your mouth closed throughout the night, at least for the beginning. When you breathe through the nose and in and out, when you breathe diaphragmatically, it's the most efficient way to breathe. When you then find a nice rhythm and you get comfortable with that moment of a mild appetite, then your body can slowly get used to and eventually fall in love with that moment of feeling the appetite for the next breath. Why is this important? As I said at the beginning, carbon dioxide has to be balanced. When we breathe too fast, we have too low levels of carbon dioxide. That creates problems, but in the long term. When we breathe too little, meaning too small of a volume or less often than needed, our CO2 levels rise and our body gets triggered to inhale. Or just breathe faster. So it's a very small spectrum of carbon dioxide levels that our body allows. And when we, at the beginning, feel that trigger to inhale, it's very uncomfortable. It immediately creates an emotional uprise, a mental fear response, and a physiological response in terms of, oh, I really have to breathe. Now there's no other focus on anything. I just want to breathe. Right? So mentally, emotionally, physically, we are very prone to get carbon dioxide out of the body. And that's uncomfortable, that moment. And that's why starting breathing exercises might sometimes be very challenging. And it's very important at that moment that we approach breathing practices with that awareness that it might feel uncomfortable for a moment, and that discomfort is okay, that it's not dangerous, that this is just the sensation of, my body has reached a point where there's enough oxygen in the body, but the level of carbon dioxide my body is not used to. And what I'm doing right now is feeling okay with the emotional, the mental, the physiological discomfort. I'm allowing that to be just a little bit. Maybe at the beginning, that's just 1 or 2 seconds. Later, it can be longer. I'm relaxing myself into that state of too much carbon dioxide. And that allows the body to slowly feel okay with it. And that eventually, throughout the application of a couple of days, throughout many moments throughout the day where you may use that in a breath snack, the body says, okay, I can adjust the allowed level of carbon dioxide a little up, and again a little up, and again a little up. And there's also certain activities in the body where you can create intended tension, which will allow you to override that body response, that response of, oh, I really need to inhale now. And so through this intended practice, you slowly increase your allowed level of carbon dioxide, and now all of a sudden, it's almost like your whole body says, wow, I can relax. I can release that tension. My nervous system can soften up. All of a sudden, my digestion works better. All of a sudden, my brain works better. All of a sudden, when I do engage my muscles to work out, they can execute more strength, more explosiveness, because they were able to be more relaxed in all the other moments where they were not used. All of a sudden, the tension that I'm holding in my belly, in my lower back, can release a little bit. And so, again, just thinking about all the things we talked about today, how carbon dioxide is an antioxidant, antibacterial, it allows tissues to heal. It supports circulation and oxygen delivery into all the cells of the body, all the vital organs. It releases tension, it releases the nervous system. If you think of this and how you created the problem of chronic low levels of carbon dioxide over years of breathing just a little too fast, and now you start to breathe in a better way, and now all of a sudden your carbon dioxide levels rise and rise and rise, how that can all of a sudden create almost like a chronic state of feeling better, a chronic state of feeling stronger, a chronic state of feeling calm, a chronic state of being more present with whatever happens. All the triggers that used to create tension and stress all of a sudden become something that you can observe and allow an intelligent response to arise naturally. And this is really where the magic lies in improving your breathing, in mastering your breathing. And then when you're at that point where you say, now I have a little more tolerance towards carbon dioxide, then and only then can we start to use certain breathing techniques which now allow this spectrum from smallest to highest amount of carbon dioxide to be played with. So when I do a breathing technique called Bastrika, as an example, it's almost comparable to Wim Hof style breathing, where I do a Kapalabhati practice. So it's like, right? So it's not really hyperventilation, but I do breathe more than usual. And it has a lot of great effects on the lymphatic fluid moving through the body. It stimulates the lower chakras, the energy centers. It allows me to control my abdominal area very nicely. And that lowers down my carbon dioxide levels. But then I inhale, I hold my breath with a very specific way of engaging the body, creating pressure in the upper body, and I'm now holding my breath for a really long time. Then I'm exhaling for double, so maybe 30 seconds, 40 seconds, and then I'm holding my breath again. And so I have the slight hyperventilation, lowering of carbon dioxide. Then I have a very controlled long inhalation using the whole lung capacity. I have now a very long time of holding the breath without problematic tension, without the urge to breathe. I have a very long and controlled exhalation, which creates all kinds of physiological effects and creates benefits. Holding my breath again, and now my CO2 levels, my carbon dioxide levels, rise and rise and rise. And so now I'm playing through the whole spectrum of low carbon dioxide to really high carbon dioxide. And that is an amazing practice, but it should not come at the beginning when you are hypersensitive to carbon dioxide. So therefore, first, improve your breathing patterns, improve how you habitually breathe throughout the day, make that an optimal way of breathing based on my 6 principles of breathing. Then, parallel to that, start a breathing practice so you can really hone on to the details of that kind of breathing and start increasing your lung capacity and the control over your whole lung capacity. Do that for a while. Know exactly what you're doing, when you're doing it, and then eventually become more advanced as you progress with those breathing practices. It's really a step-by-step approach. It has to be individually adjusted to your needs at that moment. So are you already a super fit individual who wants to get those last 2-3% of possible strength or endurance out of your body? Or are you someone who is maybe suffering with certain health issues and needs to slowly relearn how to breathe to get the health back to a place where you feel calm and pain-free throughout the day and feel empowered because you know how you can adjust your breathing when certain symptoms come up throughout the day? Now, if you want to learn more about that, you can always go to my website, tomrichter.yoga, and go to the Learn to Master Your Breath page. And there you can also schedule a call with me, an individual call where we have 10, 15, 20 minutes to really go into your situation at the moment and see what you can do to use your breathing. Also, in my group, Empower Yourself Through Breathwork on Facebook, you can join me and there I will regularly answer questions, regularly offer workshops or just lives where I guide you through some breathing practice, where you can, again, ask your questions, comment, and just get the first ideas of what you can use, how you can use the power of your breath as a tool, as a skill to feel better in all ways throughout your day, no matter what your goal is. And in fact, I'm doing that this week. 4 days I will be live talking about how to break free from overwhelm, anxiety and pain through the power of your breath. That's it for today. And hear you again next week for the next episode of our podcast.